RadioInfluence.com.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
And welcome in, everybody, to the Landry Football Podcast. Appreciate you joining us back-to-back as we on Twitch TV, doing this podcast a little bit earlier, as obviously we normally do the Landry Football Podcast on Thursday mornings, be it Thanksgiving. We thought we'd put something out there live for you a little bit early. We really appreciate, we don't talk about them enough, but the great folks at Radio Influence that bring you and produce this podcast each for us each and every week. They do such a great job. Jerry and Jason, such great partners now, well, for a few years. So really happy to have them. Want to wish them a happy Thanksgiving. Want to wish all of you out there a happy Thanksgiving. It's been a tough year, we all know. It has been a year in which we've had a lot of negativity, a lot of, from the world of politics and the intertwining of that and the virus situation that led to a lot of issues economically. And, I hear this a lot. Well, I can't wait for this year to be over. And you know what? I'm with you in a lot of ways, but it doesn't guarantee that when we turn the calendar to January that it's going to magically be better. It's really up to us. It's really all of us to do our little part to make it better, to be more respectful to one another, to appreciate one another. I appreciate everybody that listens to this podcast. I appreciate everybody. Appreciate everybody that has come and joined us on to watch us on Twitch TV. So you can actually watch this podcast. And of course, sign up to Radio Influence, the Landry Football Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, because we know most of you will continue and should continue to listen to this in podcast form. But we appreciate the fact that so many of you found us in different avenues on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch TV that can get you over to listen to our podcast and to learn more about what we do at LandryFootball.com. When I started to do this several years ago, it was for you, the fan. My background as a coach and a scout to doing consulting work for college teams, college programs, and NFL teams. It was, how can we do something for the fan? How can we do something that they would like, they would enjoy, they would appreciate, maybe give them some insight to see the game a little bit differently, not to tell you what to think, not to tell you, how do you rank this team or this or that. It's how to think. It's basically nothing more than coaching and teaching and to give you a perspective of how to understand how to evaluate the game so that you can enjoy the game better. You can appreciate the game better. You can understand the nuances of what creates it. I always say the results are not what matter. What matters is what creates the result, because that is going to determine future results and your ability to get better and improve. And I get this an awful lot. People will often ask, I don't get it. I watch so-and-so, and we get this a lot in college, more so in college. I don't get it. They looked awful against so-and-so, and now they're playing so much better, and, I don't get it. Well, hey, that's all part of it. And anything that we do is, how do you improve? How do you get better? I know even in the NFL, where you think everything is just, seamless and moving on. It's about building blocks each and every day to get better in what you're doing. And in football, it's about being able to build each and every day. So this year has been a lot about, well, how are we going to do that in a pandemic, and practices are being postpone or, you know, games being postponed. Well, it's certainly not the best way to evaluate. Some people are going to have a little bit more luck than others with the pandemic. Some are not. It's the way it is. The teaching part into building one day after another is key. It's why I always say, look at how a team is playing fundamentally as the year goes along. Because if once you have 100 practices under your belt, you're going to be a lot better than after you have 10. And so much people look at and see, well, they're losing games at the end, and so they're not better. Well, not necessarily. You might have an easier schedule at the beginning and a tougher schedule at the end, and your record may be worse at the end, easier at the beginning. You're winning more at the beginning, but at the end, you're actually a better team. You're actually fundamentally better. You're actually playing better, but your opponent's more difficult, more challenging. So those things, I think, are always important to keep in mind when you're evaluating a team and you're looking at situations that are going to be tremendous impacts into a football season and how much better you get from game in and game out. I've always said that in the NFL, it was always about positioning yourself to Thanksgiving and what happens from Thanksgiving on. And the NFL's had, mainly due to their, you know, money and resources, they've had to deal with COVID, but they've managed it better than most. College is, again, because there's not as much money, there's no uniformity, and everybody's kind of out doing their things. It's a mismatch, and it's very disorganized. And it's quite frustrating for a lot of folks that are involved. But it's certainly having an impact. And I think what it does, it for the programs that are more organized, that have larger staffs, that have better personnel, they end up surviving this current environment a little bit better than other people. The programs that do not are going to have be more affected by it. But one of the things that we were talking about in the last hour that I wanted to take a little time again to be thankful of what we do have and that we do have football is, and I mentioned this, the love for football and love for Thanksgiving football is kind of unique and special in so many ways. You know, the concept of, pardon me, playing football games in this country goes back to the late 1800s, shortly after it was invented. And one of the reasons when it was obviously done from an amateur standpoint is a day that most people had off of work. I know that Yale and Princeton and Rutgers played the first game of football. Yale and Princeton formed a Thanksgiving Day game. Again, for most of you know, but football, as we know it, American football, was invented in the Northeast. That's where it was formed. It was formed at the university level. And then the great coaches in that area ended up branching out to the Midwest and then to the West. And then, ironically, the South was more came really last in terms of infiltrating in football. I know that Michigan, the University of Michigan, had a tradition of playing annual Thanksgiving Day games from the 1885 to 1905. They played 19 games. They played a bunch of games. They played back the old Chicago Maroons in the day, University of Chicago. But it's mostly was a high school event that usually ended your high school season before the playoffs. And it was done mostly in New England. And so that's kind of where the Thanksgiving Day concept took place. And then, you know, football was mostly at the college level and high school level, and it was had semi-pro teams, but it was a while before you had organized pro football. But when it became a professional event, you had some success or some, at least, Thanksgiving Day football at the college level. I know that in the early days of some organized pro football in the Pennsylvania area, Allegheny, Pittsburgh area, late 1890s, early 2000s, that's where the first Thanksgiving Day games were. You had some games that eventually took place in the Ohio League, the La Trobe Athletic League. The Canton Bulldogs played a number of games in like the early 1900s. I know that the Massillon Tigers, which was in Massillon, Ohio, the games were played. But the Detroit Lions came about 1934, and we've had a number of teams that have played, but it's been the Lions, and the Lions played the Bears and the Chicago Cardinals at the time, and the Bears, because Chicago had two teams, the Bears and then the Chicago Cardinals, which then moved to St. Louis. Michael Bidwell's dad, Bill Bidwell's, was his dad. Bill Bidwell's dad was the owner of the Chicago Chargers, Chicago Cardinals. And then Bill Jr. came in, and then Michael behind him. But it wasn't always the Lions, but it was mostly the Lions. And then they switched to like the Packers, and then they had a couple like the Pottsville Maroons and Buffalo All-Americans and teams like that played in the early 20s. But the first owner of the Lions was a guy by the name of George Richards, and he started the Thanksgiving Day tradition as a gimmick to get people to go to the Lions game. And he also owned a major radio station, WJR in Detroit, which is a major affiliate of what was called then the Blue Network, which was the forerunner of NBC. And or actually, it might have been the forerunner of ABC. I can't remember, but they carried the game across the networks. And when there was a little bit of a brief stop of that, but when the commissioner Burt Bell said we want to have Thanksgiving Day games again, there was a lot of people in the NFL that said no one's going to come to the games. Everybody's at home. Everybody's got the day off. Everybody's going to be spending time with their family. It would be a disaster. Because, you know, yeah, they do it in high school. It's a family event. They do it in college. Yeah. But this is, you know, this is going to hurt our attendance. Well, the Lions said, Burt Bell said, no, we want to do this. This is big. Well, Mr. Ford got involved and said, when he took over and said, look, we'll do it. It's worked here before. It'll work. And no one really wanted to do it. And ironically, I can, you know, remember hearing some old stories said about how people said, we don't want to do that. The Lions did it. The Lions said, we'll do it. If it's good for the league, we'll do it. Well, it had some success, so much so that in 1966, the Cowboys kind of redirected and said, yeah, we'll do it. And that's the 1966 was, and the Cowboys were founded in 1960. They then adopted hosting Thanksgiving game. And so that's basically how it happened. So people would say to this day, well, why don't they get rid of the god-awful Lions because they're awful? And very often, by Thanksgiving, they're out of the playoff race, and a lot of the games are not very good. But the reason is there's loyalty towards the Ford family and the Lions for being the ones that stood up and said, hey, for the betterment of the league, we'll play the games on Thanksgiving when nobody wanted them to. Now, everybody wants to play the games on Thanksgiving because it's great marketing to have that there. And then that's when we started to move on, and we had the night game. But in 75 and 77, Pete Rozelle, the Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, from 75 and 77, replaced the Cowboys as the host team. Basically in 76, Dallas hosted the Cardinals, so it was the Cardinals. And at that time, if you remember, the Terry Metcalf Cardinals, Don Coryell, they were kind of the Cardiac Cards, and they were, for, you know, 3 years, were on Thanksgiving. But then they found out that Dallas had a little bit more popularity and it was a better draw on TV. So since 1978, Thanksgiving Day games have been hosted in Detroit and in Dallas every year, with Detroit in the early time slot and Dallas in the late slot. That's the way it's always been. Now, again, in 2006, a third NFL game on Thanksgiving has been played. And it was part of an agreement that said, look, we want to be part of the Thanksgiving Day package. Instead of thumbing the nose at an organization that was loyal way back in the day in Detroit or Dallas, which Dallas at times certainly has a lot of draw, even if they're not that good at times. Instead of getting rid of them, they said, we'll add a third game. And at that point, they were starting to do Thursday night games and Sunday night games. So let's do that. And it's been part of the package ever since. So it's something that I think is always fun to go back and look and see how it should be done and the ways to go about, you know, looking at it. I think Thanksgiving Day is always been fun to watch games. They've been, I can remember at least with the Lions, some of the great Barry Sanders moments. I remember a great interception by Lawrence Taylor near the goal line and run it all the way back. I can remember a great Chicago-Detroit Thanksgiving Day game with Vince Evans getting the Bears in and then getting it in overtime, and then they took the opening kickoff, did the Bears. So, It's a tradition, and as a traditionalist, I rather respect that. And while I maybe forsake a better game, look, I would be great if you could look at an elite game and say, if we had a Tennessee, Indianapolis, or Kansas City, Tampa, potentially this week's games on Thursday, yeah, it might be a better game, or certainly two teams in better contention. But that's kind of the history and the story of why the Lions have always been given the game, is because they took it. And I can remember hearing stories, kind of typical, hearing old stories at the owners' meetings in the early 60s when there was still debate of how to do it, and the Lions were taking the game and nobody wanted it. It was Tex Stram standing up saying, we don't want the game in Dallas. That's not good for our – and then when it became popular, Thanksgiving Day game, it was Dallas that said, oh, yeah, we wanted it. And Dallas is always known, Tex Stram was always known that, you know, it was always interesting what was good for the Cowboys. And, you know, he was the general manager of the Cowboys. But there's some people, some of the old folks in the league, and the Ford family is one of them, that's always been about what's the betterment of the league. And, you know, it's the one thing I said in last hour. It's the one thing about the NFL is that everybody understands that it is a it's competitive on the field. And certainly you compete for players and free agency and all those things. You certainly compete and get an advantage, but they're business partners, and sometimes doing what's best for the league needs to get done. And it's what I was talking a little bit about with college football is, you know, there needs to be some of that. And I know people don't want to hear it, because nowhere is the rivalries and the hate more than in college. I get it. And I don't want to say you want something that's good for another conference, another team. for the good of college football. As somebody that is not a fan, but somebody that works professionally in the sport, I want what's best for college football is better leadership and better organization, like having some really good college games on Thanksgiving Day, having rules that are followed and symmetric around the country and at every level, and maybe are more purposeful to different grades and levels of programs, meaning, you know, the Power Five and the Group of Five, doing what's best for all involved is something that we don't do a very good job of in college football. And I think it's to the detriment. And it's not that it's not great. It is great. I mean, in some ways, I mean, I can tell you that the excitement on a big Saturday of college football in the fall is as good as it gets in life for me. It doesn't mean it can't get better. And I think some of the things we talk about, you know, there's not a path to get certain things understood. I mean, we complain, I do, about politics and how we do things. At least there's an organization. At least there's a House and a Senate, and we may disagree with what they're doing, but there's a path to do things. And I know in the NFL, being involved, there's a path to get changes. There's a path to be heard. There's a path to throw out some ideas. In college, I mean, they're just, it's whistling Dixie a lot of times. You know, it's just, you know, something that, that we could do better with. So anyway, I think that this, the college game could benefit. Look, I'm going to tell you, having Thanksgiving without Texas A&M, it's like not having gravy with the turkey. I mean, or dressing with the turkey. And it's just, you know, I commend, as I said last hour, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. They don't play this year. But they've taken the Egg Bowl and taken a state rivalry, but by the way, it's hated, and put that on Thanksgiving night and made that special. I'll give you another one, a rivalry that you would not think. If I told you the hate between the two, I'll give you one that you could have 20 guesses and you would not guess this one. I mean, I'm not saying they're the most hate. I'm just telling you, there's vitriolic hate and you wouldn't even think about it. I would have this game, and it is Arizona State, the Territorial Cup. And I'm not talking about this year where the schedule is all screwed up, but that should be a late Thanksgiving night game. You know, following Ole Miss, Mississippi State. And we should have a couple of games. You know, look, I mean, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Texas A&M don't even play anymore. So, I mean, we know things change. But I love Thanksgiving Friday for college football. I would love college football on Thanksgiving even more. We don't have enough on Thanksgiving. And if we get Baltimore-Pittsburgh postponed because of COVID going on this year, it's going to be a real – look, you're going to have to get excited about New Mexico and Utah State if that game doesn't get canceled. I just think we're missing the boat in college football. Let's get to some – want to remind you that you can send questions to the show as we're doing it live. And I'm going to go through some here. Quick, Jigs Dad, thanks for your involvement. Rock says, the NFL ever consider telling the Lions to get it together? No, Rock, I just answered that. Hey, there's a lot of loyalty because of what they've done. So Manning, that college football has de-emphasized it. We'll never forget OU-Nebraska game of the century in 1971. I did as well. Good grief, growing up in Kansas City, Missouri, I hated the NFL TV rules. We stuck with the Cardinals games in most years. They were garbage. Chiefs, great. 71 game at Tiger Stadium, Turkey Day. Charlie Sanders killed us. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that's no question. So anyway, no, but there's a lot of people that said that, and a lot of people have said, hey, tell the Lions, get it together, or we're going to move away from you. Well, from a football standpoint, you can say the Lions need to get it together. But quite frankly, from a loyalty standpoint, that is the reason why they've kept it. And look, again, I think you could certainly make for better games. But and I'm not saying that they won't. Look, I can tell you that if the Cowboys didn't have it, Jerry Jones would be pushing, you know, but to have his. And others have. I can tell you that I know that, well, Rock West was, a Chiefs fan. I know a Chiefs fan. He said it. But the Chiefs were one. Carl Peterson was one that pushed it. In fact, he was the one that ended up getting the Sunday night game because instead of eliminating the Lions, we'll just add another game. So that's a look at it. Look, folks, we're going to cut it a little bit short today as it has been a compressed week. I have got more scouting reports to get up on LandryFootball.com for the games this weekend. We will preview all the games as we do, but it's a little compressed with the NFL games on Thursday. Some of them, obviously, more than normal, and then all the games on college on Friday and on Saturday. But we wanted to get in a version of the Landry Football Podcast a little bit earlier and not do it on Thanksgiving Day. We so appreciate you joining us, listening to us, and check us out. Sign up for the Landry Football Podcast, part of the Radio Influence Group. We hope that you have a great Thanksgiving with your family. We hope that you enjoy watching football on Thanksgiving. And we will be back with you next Thursday for another edition of the Landry Football Podcast. Friday, we'll be back as well on LandryFootball.com as we will do our SEC show. So we appreciate you joining us. God bless. Have a great time. And we appreciate you joining us as always. Check us out at LandryFootball.com for all the breakdowns. Thank you again. Take care. So long.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
On this week's episode of Crush Performance, we take a look at big data and the impact it's having on the games we love. Could there be a massive downside to all of the numbers? We'll discuss it as we take a look at the interesting, the historic, and confusing numbers coming out of Major League Baseball. We'll take a look at international sports as the World Junior Hockey Championships are getting set to kick off in Edmonton, Alberta. We'll take a quick look at the Crush NFL teams to watch this year. Where are they and how are they doing? And we'll give you the results of the Crush Brain Game Audience Poll. The numbers aren't quite what I thought they'd be, but we break it all down. Plus, we have a great offer from our good friends at Exogun for you to check out on this week's episode of Crush Performance.
Crush Performance with Jeff Crischel can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.